taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. You get what you say. So what we say is our faith speaking. Positive or negative, it's our faith speaking. The words coming out of our mouth are displaying our faith. They're showing, they're locating us. They're showing us where our faith is. And you can use this as a help you in figuring out how to pray for people, figuring out where they're at. What did Jesus say you would have? What you say. He didn't say you'll have what you believe. He said you would have what you say. Now, believing is important, but what did he say? He said you would have what you say. That's why we're placing so much emphasis on our words, on what we're saying, because Jesus said you will have what you say. If you are not satisfied with what you have right now or the way things are, then you need to change what you are saying. That's your first step, is change what you're saying. Now, what about this? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That means you are more than a conqueror. And if you're not seeing that in an area in your life, you need to start speaking that out of your mouth. Romans 8:37. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Now, you may not feel like a conqueror. You say, I am healthy. You may not feel healthy, but you start saying that you're healthy. You start confessing that you're healthy. You start confessing his word in that area. And what will happen is that your words will create the reality of it in your life. Sooner or later, you will become what you say. There's a couple that went to go and pray for someone that was sick. And as they began to enter the home, the person that answered the door said, you know what, it's really bad. I don't think you want to catch it. I don't know that you want to come in here. And the man said, I won't get it. And he proceeded into the house. Now, his wife said, well, I don't know if I should go in. I might get it. But she went in anyway. As they were approaching, leaving, going home, she was already coming down getting sick. What happened? Her words were showing where her faith was at, and she gave by her words as though it was an invitation to the devil. In other words, her words opened the door to the devil. And actually, if that's where her faith was at, she would have been better off not to have gone in and waited in the car. You know, I mean, you just got to be realistic with where you're at. What the heck? It's better than getting sick and going home and being sick, right? So where's your faith at? You might as well be realistic with where you're at. If you need to grow your faith, grow your faith. But don't go put yourself in a situation where you're going to end up worse off. Your faith will never rise above your words. Let me say this. I am more than a conqueror. Why don't you go ahead and confess this after I say it? I am prosperous. I live debt-free. I live within my means, but my means are constantly increasing. The blessing of God comes upon me, and it overtakes me. I'm blessed coming in and going out. Blessed are my offspring. The Lord commands his blessing upon me. He commands his blessing upon me, and this is based out of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. The Lord, go ahead and repeat this. The Lord commands his blessing in my work, in all that I put my hand to. The Lord makes me, get that, the Lord makes me abound in prosperity. I lend to many. And I do not borrow. I am the head and not the tail. I am only above and not underneath. I obey God and I speak his word over my life and my family and my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus became a curse for me so that the blessings of Abraham could come upon me. Now, I'll end with this story. Pastor Brad went to do an appraisal today, and I wanted to share a fabulous testimony to you, for you, with you. There's a family that we've known that's lived in this area for many, many years, and they've been working hard, and they've been serving the Lord, and they've been working in other jobs also. And do you know that they were just given a second house, personally? In 1993, some little sweet lady put this friend of ours on title with her. She's gone home to be with the Lord. But the interesting thing is that they weren't working for a corporation where they had some great retirement plan or some 401k or something, some system to take care of themselves when they got older. There was no plan. They were just serving God and working hard and doing both. And yet, isn't God good? Because now they have a cute, their second house now, a three-bedroom house, and they rent it out for $3,000 a month. And they just got it, and it's all theirs, given to them. They didn't pay anything. The woman that left it to them didn't have children, but she had a sister and she had an aunt that she said had not been very nice to her, so she decided to leave the house to this lady. We don't need to know how God's going to do it. We just need to keep speaking in line with His Word. He wants to bless us. Sometimes we're very hard on ourselves because sometimes it's easier to see our faults than our strengths, where we've missed it instead of where we've been a blessing, or where we've missed it instead of our heart's desire to do good. But, you know, He sees the whole picture, and He's wanting to pour out blessings on you. He's for you. Proverbs 16:23, we're going to shift gears a little bit. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. That's been one of our primary texts. Also, Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We know both those verses. We've used both those verses in this class before. But there's another verse I want to use with you and get you real familiar with. And that's Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of... That's right. Now, often we think of that verse, and the first thing that comes to my mind, I think of the blood of the Lamb. I understand that. But when I think of the word of their testimony, I think of my salvation experience, the testimony from when I got saved. But that's not just all that that's referring to here. It's more than that. It's bigger than that. And in Webster's dictionary, when I look up the word testimony, it says a witness, a statement made under oath to establish a fact, any declaration, any form of evidence or proof. In other words, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which we know. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means the blood of Jesus covers us even when we fall short of the glory of God. It's like having that umbrella over us, that protection over us at all times, even if we miss it. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for His blood. That's one way. Here's the other, number two, is the word of their testimony. So this is how we overcome. Thank God for the blood. Plead the blood over yourself, but also we overcome by the word of our testimony, by the words we're speaking out of our mouth. And those words that cause us to overcome are the very words that Jesus said Himself, or that God had inspired men of old to write down, which are His words. The words we overcome by are the words that we speak out of our mouth that line up with the word of God. Remember Reinhard Bonnke, what God said to him? My words out of your mouth are as powerful as my words out of my mouth. That's what God said to Reinhard Bonnke. Okay, he's a man. You're a man. We're mankind. Same applies to us. Same applies to us. That means when you speak God's word out of your mouth, it's as powerful as God speaking it out of His. That's how we overcome, by speaking in line with the word. Now let's take a look at Jesus. How did Jesus overcome temptation? The word. He quoted the word to the devil. Jesus had fasted for a long time, and he was probably hungry. The tempter came and said to him in Matthew chapter 4, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What was he doing? Quoting the scripture back to the devil. The devil knew the scripture. The devil was using the word, but Jesus knew the word and quoted the word right back. It is written. It is written. What was his testimony? His testimony was claiming and saying the words of God. What Jesus was saying is, I live by God's word. His words are life to me. And he overcame temptation. So how are we to overcome temptation? Get the word of God coming out of your mouth. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God will provide the means of escape that you may be able to endure it. scripture. So just start speaking scripture out of your mouth. If you're tempted, speak scripture. Speak the word. Now, we overcome when we say what God's word says. You are victorious. I am victorious. We need to be speaking that victory out of our mouth. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Another verse on victory. He always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14. He always causes me to triumph. We should be saying these words out of our mouth. Thanks be to God. He always causes me to triumph. He always gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever circumstances I face, I always have the victory. I always have the victory. He'll bring me out on top. By faith, you believe you have the victory before you say it. You do that by faith. By faith, you speak the victory. You use your words and you speak about the victory before you see it. Now, I want us to go in and look at this. We're going to look at the story of David and Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. Again, our emphasis tonight is on faith and words. David showed his faith by speaking. That's the first thing that we see that he did. You want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look, starting with verse, say, 26, and go into 32 to 33 and 37 and 45. We're going to go into that area. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. So we know what's happened here, that enemies have come against the children of Israel, God's children, and they've challenged them and they've taunted them, and they want one person to come out and fight to represent all the children of Israel. Now, that's a big deal, because in that day and age, if one person fought representing your whole group and they lost, it meant everybody became slaves to that other group. Who would want that kind of pressure on themselves? I mean, you know, and then have to live with that the rest of your life? I mean, it would be great as long as you won. So this takes faith. So David, who's a ruddy little kid, has faith. He goes up to check on his brothers, and he sees that there's some Philistine that's taunting the armies of God. Verse 26, "Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?'" Now notice what he's doing. He's realizing this uncircumcised Philistine is not just coming against the armies, but they're coming against the armies of the living God. In other words, you're coming against God when you come against these. So David already knows that he's coming against God. We go on, we look further on. Let's look at verse 32. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail on account of him.'" Now, he was huge, right? That's why they were calling him the giant. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Verse 33, "Then Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth.'" Now, but look, go ahead and look. Look at verse 36. Look at how he talks. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." David said what would happen before he took any action. He boldly declared how it would go. He boldly declared it. He said, "This is how it will go." Then he gets more descriptive, and he talks about taking off his head. Verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you." And you know he did, but he spoke it before he did it. He spoke it out, knowing that God was on his side. David showed his faith by speaking. Now, we don't face those kind of giants today, but there are other things that sometimes we have to face, because the devil roams around as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Key word is who he may, so we don't allow him to devour us. But we know that he goes about trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and devour. We don't want him devouring our finances. We don't want him devouring our health. We don't want him devouring our blessings. So he is somebody that we are to resist and oppose. There is an opponent on this earth. Now, I want to look at this where David said that the Lord delivered him from the lion and from the bear, and he would deliver him from the hand of this Philistine also. And what I see from that that we can take and glean for our lives is this. David didn't start with Goliath. He didn't start with the Philistine. He had tested his faith. He had exercised his faith in smaller areas first. So let's take that and apply that to us then. It means if you need money, you probably shouldn't start at, I believe God for $100,000. That's like going after the Philistine. Start with where you're at. And if where you're at is $100, start there. If it's $1,000, start there. If it's $10,000, start there. Get some victories in these areas and then build up. You see how he built up? And then, once you get those victories, remind yourself about the victories. Has God ever helped you in a crunch? Remind yourself about what he did for you, how he came in a timely fashion and fixed something for you or helped you or delivered you, gave you a new place to live, whatever it was. Remind yourself about your past victories with God. Remind yourself about what he's done for you when you go up against the next giant. So if you're facing sickness, remind yourself how he's delivered you in the past. Remind yourself how you laid hands on somebody else and they got healed. Remind yourself about the power of God. You see, what David did is he reminded himself about what the Lord had done for him. He was stirring himself up, building himself up on his own faith. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. What was he doing? Stirring himself up, listening to himself speak about the goodness of God and what God had done. So speak about what God has done and go after the $10 and the $100 and the $1,000 before you go after $100,000 or $1,000,000. Sometimes people want to go after the $1,000,000, but they haven't gone after the $10 or the $100 or the $1,000 or the $10,000. And it sometimes takes a long time, and then they will think, well, why isn't it working? Well, sometimes when you hit areas like that, it takes a while. And sometimes you need to be sowing towards things, too. It means you need to be a financial giver. So give a 10 and believe God for a 10. Give a 100 and believe God for a 100. And then don't just believe God for money that you need yourself, but start believing God for money for giving to other people or other ministries or other things that are serving the Lord. You don't get caught up in feeling like you're just heaping money onto yourself. That's not really what it's for anyway. Yes, he wants us blessed. He wants us blessed, overflowing. He came to give us abundant life. But it's also to do something with our life. It's to be a blessing to others. So start believing God for something to give. And start where you're at. If you've never believed God for $100, then you probably ought to start less than that. $10. $20. Father, I thank you for $10. Thank you for $10. Somebody will walk up to you and hand you a 10. Something unexpected. Look at my son. $70 within 2 hours. I never even told you what he did. Then went to the pet store. They were out of crickets. He bought a parakeet. He came home with a cage and an entire parakeet. So now I have a parakeet in my house. I looked at my husband and I thought, really? Mom, I got a parakeet. I thought, right, funny. Huh? They're pulling a joke on me, but which they like to do. And I opened and there was a little bird in there. Oh, no, we have a lizard too. Now I have a dog, a guinea pig, a lizard, and a bird. Mealworms are less expensive than crickets. Well, he got mealworms. But within 2 hours, an 11-year-old got $70. He believes, he confessed, he tithes, though. He is a tither, and he is a giver. And there are times where he'll just take all of his money and put it in the offering, all of it. You know, I don't motivate him to do that because I wouldn't. I have enforced for him to tithe. I teach him to tithe. And, you know, it's interesting to see what comes back out of them because he did this thing at school where they were selling these books. It just shows that what you teach, what you put into them, comes back out of them, even when you're not around, which is precious. They were selling these books, these entertainment books, coupon books, Safeway, $20 off at Safeway, stuff like that, the big, thick books. And I thought, oh. And, you know, he's just really good with people and selling things. He went, got the second, sold the second most in all of sixth grade out of like 100 kids. Oh, yeah, so now they're giving him $60 to Best Buy. I mean, I just was surprised. He just has been selling them left and right. They're $25 a pop. I mean, I'm thinking now when all the kids come to my door, you know. So he's just done really well in that. Oh, here's what I wanted to tell you. So he was doing so well in selling all these books, the second most in his class. that I guess there were some rewards offered to them, and he was going after the rewards. Well, that's fine. You know, he's a kid. And one of the rewards is that, well, you know, you could pay for part of some science lab fair or outing they do. So they said, you want some of the money to go to that, right? And he said, well, okay, some of it. So some of it's going to go to that. Some of it he gets as a gift card to Best Buy, $60 to Best Buy. And he gets some other things. And then they were raising the money. The reason why they're selling these books was for an orphanage in Mexico. So it's for an orphanage. So there was a reason that the money was going to. So they said to him, now, do you want to give some? I'm not around. I wasn't there. I heard this later. They said, now, do you want to give some money to the orphanage? Now, he's been saving for these pets, right? He was at that time saving for this lizard thing. And he says to them, 10%. And I thought, you know, that's good because that's coming straight out of what we've taught him. I mean, he could have said, no, I want it all. But in this case, what came back out of his heart? What we've taught him. When no one was around to check on him, 10%. Why? Because that's what we taught him. That's what the Word says. I said, Chad, that's a really good thing because you're doing what the Bible says. And that's a good thing. So we're looking at David, and we're talking about applying what David was doing there with Goliath to us and applying it financially. How do we apply it financially? The same way this 11-year-old did. He prayed. He believed God. He went for it. Just went for it. $70 in less than 2 hours. If he can do that, we can do it. So start speaking that you're blessed, you're prosperous, that you live debt-free. It doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. Just start speaking it. Start speaking it. Start speaking it. Father, I thank you. And I'll tell you what's quickened to me right now. When I was sitting down writing out my confessions, and I wrote out, and I just had unction for this. You do what's right for you, but I had unction that I'm constantly receiving $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 checks. So, praise God. Okay. I mean, that just covers a pretty good span. I like that span. I'm constantly receiving $20,000, $30,000, and $40,000 checks. And I'm just going to say it. And I'm going to keep saying it. And it had unction. So, I'm going to keep saying it and keep saying it. And I'm confessing that I've got money to give to somebody because there's somebody I want to bless right now. So, I'm believing for it to come in so it can go out, right? Not just come in and heap it upon myself, but come in because I've got a purpose. I've got a purpose that these things are paid for. Believe God and speak. Confess. Get your words out there working for you. Now I'm going to tell you this. I was reading my Bible. And remember that day when I was standing over there and I just had such strong unction to speak some things out about say the way it's to go. It's time for Christians to rise up and start declaring, using their authority and declaring this is the way it is. You know, that mountain-moving faith, he doesn't say pray it. He doesn't say ask God to move the mountain into the sea. He says, you speak to the mountain. Have the God kind of faith. You speak to the mountain. You tell the mountain to move. You deal with it. I was just reading and I was studying, but it was after that. I was stirred. It stirred me, too, because I wasn't expecting that. That was revelation for me, too. So I went home, and I really started speaking things out, and I really started writing down confessions, and I've posted above my desk. I've got them in my Bible. I've got them several other little places so that I'm seeing them. They're before my eyes all the time. Every day I'm saying those confessions. Every day I'm praying the epistle prayers over you. I've missed maybe one here, day here or there. But every day I'm praying those epistle prayers over you, over our church, over my family. Why? It's important to me because I want those words going out. I want those prayers going out, but I want my confessions going out. But I've been diligent. I've been going after this. And one day I was just, you know, reading my Bible. And, you know, the Lord talked to me. He said, you know, your words are working. And I just thought, I knew what he meant, because earlier I'd been confessing, I'd been speaking the way some things were going to go. Now, there's some areas where I've seen some things in the natural don't look like they're going the way they should be going. And there's some things we've been working on for months, and to the natural eye, but I'm not going by that. I'm going by faith. I'm not going to go by what I see. I'm going by the Word of God. I'm going to choose to go by the Word of God, and so I'm continuing to speak the Word, continuing to speak the Word. Speaking the Word, speaking the Word. But that's what he said to me. It was so precious because I knew what I'd spoken out. Your words are working. And he said, your words are out there working. And I thought, praise God, your words are working. Your words are out there working. I just declared some things after that unction. You get some unction, you get stirred up, you start saying the way it's going to go. You start speaking things, you tell things to line up. You tell your body to line up. You tell your finances to line up. Speak to it. And then you call it in. You just call it in. Father, thank you. I have all the resources I need to do everything you've put in my heart. And then you start getting specific when you know what those resources are. Now, I told you when I lived in Oklahoma, I prayed for clothes one time, right? I had to wear a dress every day and 5 days a week and same clothes over and over. By the end of 2 years, I'd really been wearing a long time. And so I prayed for some clothes. And do you know that somebody came to my house with black garbage bags full of clothes? And they were ripped and torn and stained. And it was probably the best they had. And I said, thank you. But I went to the Lord. And I said, Lord. And he said, well, you asked me for some clothes. And I thought, okay, I get it. And after that, I said, okay, I would like a dress in the colors that I like. Now, you know I like black and white. And I would like it that it is tailored to fit me the way that I like. And so I got specific. And at that time, I liked wide banded, waist to hip, and then flared out. I want a style that's in my colors, that fits me, that looks good, and that is in excellent condition. Within a couple weeks, somebody showed up, pressed. Beautiful black and white dress. Wide waisted band right around waist to hip. In a plastic bag. It had just come from the cleaners. You know, I was praying. I just felt like I should give this to you. I said, oh, thank you. And you know, God taught me something. If you're praying, you might as well be specific so you can get what you really want. So what I'm telling you that for a reason. If you need resources, it's fine. If your first step is to identify that you need resources, that's fine. But then you need to get more specific than that. What are the amounts you need for the projects he's put on your heart? And you may need to even do some research in terms of how much that will cost. And then you can start getting specific with what the figures are. And then you can talk to him about the figures. You can talk to him about the manpower you'll need. Get specific. If you do a general prayer, you may end up with a black garbage bag full of ripped clothes. I learned something from that. I really did. I learned something. He said, you asked for clothes. I did. Now I'm going to tell you something else, too. There was another time we were at Rhema. I think that it was at a point where we did not have very much money at that time. I prayed. I prayed for money to buy a suit. I wanted a suit. And I prayed. I remember where I was standing in the main sanctuary when I prayed that. It was during one of these, prayer and exaltation times or something that we had. I remember where I was standing because it was in, close to the front row. And I didn't normally stand there. It just wasn't my normal location. It wasn't usually in the front. But at this one time, I remember exactly where I was standing. And I prayed for $100 because that's about what a suit would cost back then to get a new suit. And I knew I had it in my spirit. I knew I had it. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I had it. And time went by. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And nothing happened. Then finally, we're at class doing something else. Weeks have gone by. Now probably a month, maybe more than a month. And there's a fire drill. And we're in class and everybody exits. Now, there were like maybe 1,000 to 2,000 students in that place. So it was big when we were all together. But in this, now we're divided up into smaller groups, classes. So we had to exit the building. And it just happened that I was standing in a certain spot. And this lady stood next to me as we're waiting for the fire drill. And she says to me, do you need money? But they taught us how to respond to that, And I said, well, why would you ask that? I mean, I'm thinking inside, And so I said, well, why would you ask that? And she said, because the Lord told me to give you $100 a long time ago. And she said, you always dress so nice. But I didn't really think you needed it. And she said, but the Lord told me to give you $100. And she said, I can even remember the day when he told me to give you the $100. Do you remember that day when exaltation? She said she told me that I was wearing a green suit. She told me what I was wearing. She told me where I was standing. And it was that exact day that I had prayed that and believed God. That day, that exact thing. And God had told somebody else, told them to do it. Now listen, sometimes things can be hindered because other people are disobedient. But don't let that discourage you. You just keep on keeping on. I said, well, I smile and kind of let it go. I'm not going to. Faith doesn't put pressure on people. I mean, did I have feelings about what I wanted to say? I believed God for that. That was a long time ago, and you should have been obedient, you know? If God told you to do that, you should have done it. And yeah, I prayed and I believed, and it would have helped my faith had she obeyed more than the item. It would have helped my faith, right? But I didn't say any of that. And I found out, no, I'll tell you what really happened. We had to do our sermons. She still didn't come up with it, didn't give it, okay? She didn't say, well, you know, I need to get that to you. She didn't say anything. She was up doing her sermon, her lab sermon. And at that point I said, Lord, she's up there representing her now. Are you going to do anything about that, Lord? And you know, she said, you know, she was up here doing her sermon. And you know, I guess I should just say this. You know, the Lord told me to give somebody some money. And I just want you to know, so sir, I'm going to give you the money as soon as I come down from the pulpit. Now listen to this. She'd been made an executor of a huge estate, a trust. I mean, she was really rich. She was really rich. And God was now wanting her to kind of put the money out where he was telling her to put it out. She had a lot of money. And then she started telling me what God was doing with her and stuff. So it was interesting. She probably wanted to see if she was hearing from God. After she wrote the check, then I told her. After she handed me the check, then I said, this is what I had prayed. This is, and I prayed that exact day where you saw me. But I wasn't, because otherwise you're putting pressure on somebody. And you don't put pressure on anybody. Faith does not put pressure on people. Your faith is in God. Your faith is in God. You don't put pressure on people. Okay? And so it was just very interesting. But it was a good life lesson for me, because what I realized is God heard me and God answered. Now, there was some issues on man's part of being obedient to doing that. So sometimes when I've prayed and I know that thing should have come through by now, I'll pray that the Lord will go and really talk to the person that's supposed to do it, whoever it is. Now, again, faith doesn't put pressure on people. But I know that God has probably spoken to somebody. I'll say, Father, whoever it is you're going to use, you know, will you bring that back to their remembrance? Will you quicken it to them? Or if they're not going to be obedient, God, find somebody else. Okay? But don't let it discourage your faith if you just don't see the result as fast as you think you should. God heard me, and God answered that second. Boom, I knew where I was standing, I knew where she was standing, and that's exactly when he told her to do that. Did God answer me immediately? God did. Okay? God did. God did. So let that encourage you. The Lord hears you. The Lord hears you. Okay? Amen. So let's just keep our confession and keep those words coming out of our mouth real strong like David did. We are overcomers. David overcame by his testimony. He said what was going to happen to that giant, and it happened. Jesus overcame temptation by his testimony. He was claiming the word, and he overcame all temptation. If you don't have that kind of a giant, but there's some other giant of sickness or depression or whatever, finances, in your path, start speaking to it. Tell it to go. Start speaking the positive in. Start speaking that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Boldly declare that God is in you. He's with you. Boldly declare that he's given you authority with your words. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the giant. Speak to the debt. Speak to discouragement. Speak out success. And speak out financial freedom. Activate your faith by speaking. Your faith will never rise beyond your words. So let me leave you with this last question. What is the word of your testimony? Amen.